2 Timothy chapter number 1. Pick up with verse 12. I want to read that because that's one of my favorite verses. That's where we ended last Wednesday night. And the thought in this area of the outline is a charge to steadfastness in service. He challenges and charges Timothy. And many people preach the charge and challenges of young pastors as they're going into the ministry out of different scriptures here that have been addressed to Timothy, or they do the same spirit of what Paul was doing. Keep in mind, this is the last letter Paul would ever write. And he had a heart for people. He's very passionate, and even when somebody that he loved and he was passionate about them, if their passion for the Lord was less than he felt like it should be, then it hurt him, it bothered him. And he was human just like you and I are as well. You know, he was a great, great man of God. He's addressing some things to Timothy here, so getting started in this area, I want to look at this thought of faithful sources. In verse number 12, we'll read and flow on into verse 13. And I'm going to kind of go backwards in some scripture because I got a purpose to go backwards back up. But we'll read verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Don't name your children that. Amen? Don't let your children name their children that. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. See the connection to the church at Ephesus. You get it, this connects together. Thou knowest very well. Father, we pray that you help us tonight as we try to preach, teach through these scriptures and this series, God, that you would use it. We thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord. You've been so good. Lord, just being here tonight was worth everything just to get here tonight. Feel your presence, Lord, and to feel closer to one another and to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at the words. It says, hold fast the form of sound words. That's another phrase that we also are very familiar with, is sound doctrine. Right. Sound words, sound doctrine. There's not a lot of sound doctrine in the world right now. And it's not always been filled with sound doctrine anyway, but there's some things that he tries to attest to and to try to challenge Timothy about. So I'm going to preach verse 14 and then verse 13 here in this thought. He says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So sound words and spiritual words are the first couple of points I want to look at. Sound words are very vital, very important for us in the last days that you and I are living in, so we can stand on the Word of God, stand for the truth, and when the people of this world attack us of what we believe in our faith, even if we lose our job or lose our church or lose this or lose that, the whole world can crumble around us. We stand, having done all to stand on sound words, sound doctrine. So the Scripture reminds us of this in many places that he taught to Timothy. And not just for a preacher like Timothy, but for any believer just like you, amen, and for myself, to know what we believe, why we believe it, amen. And a lot of people that are in churches, they don't have a clue why they believe some of the stuff they believe. And if he really were to start raking the garden a little bit, they probably don't agree with some of the stuff that they're getting preached. Whether it be good or bad, yeah. I'd hate to rake in the pile there and find some of you go, I don't believe that resurrection thing. That'd be like me raking and finding a snake in the leaves. That startled me, amen. But if I was in a church that didn't believe the resurrection and something, and the Holy Ghost started working in my heart and said, what did he just say? You know, I want sound doctrine. So to know what I believe, know why I believe it, amen, and be able to, what we use, there's a phrase that's been out the last 20 years about apologetics. And the word apologia is a Greek word, and there's some connections in the Scripture and some of the things of defense and defending the faith. And I like the word, as you said, contend for the faith. That means I'm on the opposition there, amen. Sometimes I'm on defense, sometimes I'm on offense. But it takes both, amen. So think about that when it comes to sound doctrine. There's been a big attack right now on the thought of fundamentalism. There's a group on podcasting abilities out there that are talking about recovering fundamentalists. And I've tried to approach it and listen to where they're coming from. They're gathering a lot of people into their base because they point out some of the funny mental stuff that some churches are doing and not fundamental foundation of the Word of God, sound words. And so they pull that out, which to me it means that they're not worried about exposing, they want to embarrass. And so they bring this stuff out, and they're becoming, some of these guys are becoming really popular. Then I saw a debate on it, and one man, he was just up there, all he did was stomp and yell, and he never said nothing. Too much, anyway. And the other guy was trying to present a case, but there was parts of his case that were pretty good, and some of it I didn't agree with whatsoever. So, but this world is hungry for truth, and the world just saying, what is truth? Been saying that for a long time. Sound doctrine, sound words are truth. Why is it sound? Why is it doctrine? Why should I build my life on it? Why should I say, my church is going in the wrong direction, so I'll follow the Lord? Why would I? What would cause someone to do such a thing? Some people won't do it. The grandma's buried in that cemetery, and I'm not leaving that church. I don't care what happens. You know, that's, I know you love grandma, but grandma ain't in there no more.
That's right.
And when the Lord comes back, if grandma was saved, she's coming out of that grave. So go to a church that preaches sound words and sound doctrine, and you can meet grandma in the air like the Bible teaches, amen. But some won't do that. They'll just stay there, and a church can be so far out of mess and out of kilter, so to speak. And I want to know what I believe, why I believe it, and I want to build on it, and I want to apply it, and I need it for everyday living of my life, every day. So these are sound words he's getting started with. So they're spiritual words as well. As I said, I'm going to go 14 up a little bit. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Spiritual words. Holy Ghost is involved in the Word of God. The conviction of the Word of God. Amen. And many things of convincing us of sin. Convincing us. And there's an order to this. You'll see this in the charismatic movement of the world. They'll talk about the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit won't talk about himself. He'll talk about Jesus.
That's right.
And you hear about Jesus, you want to know what's on his mind? He'll talk about the Father.
Right.
Amen. And I get to talk about all three if I want to, but I usually put it to God the Father and then the Son, and then the Holy Ghost seals it all with a cherry on top. Amen. These are spiritual words. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's what Jesus called the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And I'm so glad I'm not being guided wrong. Sound words. For he shall not speak of himself. He said, oh, is that where you got that? Yeah, that's where I got that. But whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These spiritual words, I need them. I needed what God's doing here tonight. He uses spiritual words in the songs that we sung tonight. The anointing of God. The Holy Spirit will not flutter over something unless it's something that needs to be brought to life or something He wants to continue to flame the fire and sustain the life of. And the Holy Spirit settled down in here tonight because He was all about that truth. Amen. He was here. And the Bible says that He's the Spirit of truth. And oh, how I need that truth in this day when most of the world don't even know what truth is. They'll change things around left and right. I mean, people don't even, they don't even know what gender they are. The parents are letting kids grow 2 or 3 years old before they ever decide, well, do you want to be a boy or a girl at age 3 or 4? I mean, this is what's going on. That's not truth. That's changing the truth of God to a lie, believing a bunch of lies. No way you can build a foundation on it, and our society will crumble. It cannot sustain. But the spiritual words, they are spirit-filled, yes, but they're also truth, foundational. Committed by the Holy Ghost, he says. Now, I sometimes think of the word committed. You can think about committed to an insane asylum. Committed a crime, right? And he says here, that good thing,
yes, sir,
which was committed unto thee. I have committed something to your care, Timothy. Something was given to you. Very similar words. Now, I looked this up. Now, obviously, you know, I don't speak Greek and I don't read it. I can read a little bit. But I know just enough to, I think, have a proper balance of when I look into something. Because you've heard this phrase of the Holy Spirit's the comforter. And that Greek word is parakletos. Have you ever studied that? Well, this was something I studied this week. I found it exciting. Maybe some of you will too. This word committed is a similar word. It's got that para stuff in it. It's got that Greek prefix in there. And it means it's a very similar word as the Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is called alongside of us for salvation and our spiritual life. And He also is with us when sound doctrine is committed under our trust. And we holding on. I'm getting ahead of myself. Holding fast. Amen. I want to get to that phrase so bad I can't understand it. Sound doctrine. Amen. So we're committed by the Holy Ghost. It's counseled by the help of the Holy Ghost. That word is He's teaching me. He's my main teacher. I went to Bible college. I know it might not sound like I did. I went to 4 years, got my degree. And this is before internet days. Can you imagine? Amen. And what I learned when I went to school is I didn't know anywhere near as much as I thought I did when I got there. And then I also learned they don't teach you anywhere near enough stuff to have to deal with people.
Amen.
And I'm not pointing at you guys. I'll turn around. Y'all all mad at me now. See, I should have took that class. But they don't teach you things about dealing with people and they don't teach you with things about people who bring false doctrine sometimes and some weird mixed up stuff you've never heard before. But the reason is because you can't study all the falsities, all the false things. You can't study all the counterfeits. Those who study fake money, they don't, at the Treasury Department, they don't say, well, here's a book and here's 72 million different counterfeit bills. No, they study the truth.
That's right.
They study the real bill. And when the false comes by, they say, wait a minute, that ain't right. Something's not right there. That hologram's out of sorts, or that fabric's out, that thing's not cut right. Or they spelled dollar wrong. There's some of the real dumb counterfeiters out there. Amen. Counsel by the Holy Ghost to lead me and guide me in truth, and I'm not alone in this. Thank God I'm not alone. Comfort from the Holy Ghost. Courage from the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to fast forward here. They're worth holding on to, amen.
Yes,
and worth dying for. There's some things I will die for. There's some things that I know lean maybe more towards a tradition or a preference on something, but there's some things I know is doctrine, and by God's grace I hope I die, because I do not want to deny sound words and sound doctrine. I don't want to. 2 Timothy 3:14. Y'all do know what book we're in, right? 2 Timothy. I'm getting ahead of myself, I know, but I couldn't help it. I can't just ignore these verses. I couldn't ignore it. But continue, thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You learn them from the Holy Ghost, and then you saw them. He saw it exhibited in the life of Paul. Amen. And that brings assurance to me. I know I got the truth, but when I see other people walking in that same truth, well, that brings that help. I want to continue. Amen. I want to, as Mae Jackson used to say, keep on keeping on. Amen. Heaven bound with a hammer down. Y'all heard those phrases before. So I thought that was well said in this other part of the letter, so I couldn't just ignore that. Amen. It's also stable words. I mean stable like stability. foundational building words, which we had a song that just, both songs, just custom ordered. Couldn't have picked them out. I'm embarrassed that I didn't ask for those and request those. But the Lord put it on Brother Jerry's heart, and God used them tonight. I'm going to build my life on it. The very moment I got saved, I didn't realize that's what was going to be going on. I just didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted my sins forgiven, and I needed the peace of God, and I believed some of these things, and I surely didn't understand it all when I got saved. But now I'm finding out, even now as I continue to grow, I can build on this. I'm building a life on this. I hope one day, I was talking to another preacher the other day, he's getting up a little bit in years, and he was talking about legacy. And I've preached that before, about your life and then leaving a legacy. He wasn't talking about being real famous. He was talking about leaving behind something that others could see. Hey, look at this. Look what they did, what they built. I want that. How do you get that? Got to start down here. Got to start down the foundation and the sound doctrine and the sound words. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid. It's already laid. No need to dig another footer and get some new concrete. We have the rock of ages. And he says, which is Jesus Christ. The word of God is so powerful. Stable words. Verse 13, secure words. Now, see, I'm working my way up. Y'all didn't know I was going to do that for sure. Y'all probably thought I would just forget what I said. I know y'all know me better sometimes than I want to admit. Secure words from a secure source. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine which thou hast heard of me. You've heard it and seen it in me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Obviously, the Holy Ghost is the primary secure source. We've already talked about that a little bit, but we need other support. And I need something that I know that is current for this last day living I'm going to have to do. I never thought I'd see some of the things I see today. I get scared sometimes of how I see where things are going. And you just won't ever know what's going to come into the church as far as, you know, we had, I don't know anything, not any assessment of all, but we had two ladies one time that come in, my first assumption that they were lesbians. I didn't know. That's sad that that's where my mind went first. I need my mind on sound doctrine first. And then what did he say, verse 13? In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Because that's the only hope they have. Now, I come to find out, they said they were sisters. And they visited a few times. And tried to get in touch with them, but I couldn't get in touch with them. Some people put their names and stuff, no phone number, no address. They fill out that little card that is kind of, you know, look, you know, okay, preacher, and then it's nothing. You know, you can't use the FBI, GBI, no other kind of eye to find them. But they never came back. I said that that's where my mind went first. I should think, I hope they're not up to something, but I need to be up to what I need to be up to. Amen. Is preaching the Word of God. And I'm not going to pick on somebody because they're here, but I'm also not going to pretend if God says you need to say something, I'll say it. That's part of the fear that's there that you live in the day. And I'm glad I got security in the Word of God.
Yes,
and I'm glad I know that I'm doing right if I do it. This is the thought of this secure words. And hearing of it, he said, hearing of me. He heard of me. This is especially from Paul. What greater inspiration did Timothy have? He had one of the greatest men of God besides Jesus, of course. There's no comparison. Jesus is deity. Paul was a disciple, an apostle, a follower. Great inspiration for it. And it's a good thing that the Bible says. It's a good thing. You can rest assured that you've got a good thing, a good doctrine, a sound doctrine committed by the Holy Ghost. As his calling to preach was, Timothy's calling to preach was just like Paul's. God did it.
Yep, that's right.
Your mama called and daddy sent, that'll really wear out real quick. When the heat comes on. And He also, not only did he have that same type of calling to preach, but there was a cast or a pattern or an ensample, we've used that word many times, in the Apostle Paul's life. Now look, this is 2 Timothy 4:3. Sorry. I had to do it again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. That's why they changed the truth into a lie, the truth of God into a lie, the way God made them, the way the world is made, the foundation of the world. When it was made, they think it's billions and millions of years. They're gonna do it on their own lust. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And boy, that's what they've done. They want to bring in the preacher, bring in the teacher, listen to someone who won't say anything about sin. They'll just accept them in their sin and play along with their sin and promote it or practice it with them, but they'll never, never preach against it. And that's the days that Timothy was facing. And it's worse now. But these are secure words. Amen. They can't be hacked. Facebook got hacked yesterday, I heard. Amen. It went down. My bank account got hacked yesterday because I bought something on Facebook. So it wasn't my fault that this whole thing happened yesterday, but I got caught up in it. So it just happened. I'm glad that the Word of God cannot be hacked. You can add to and take away. He'll take away your part from the Word, the Book of Life. The Bible says the Book of Revelation. But the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It's forever established. And so the Apostle Paul, in his life, tried and tested and proven. No doubt he was definitely saved. He had a testimony of how he got saved. There was a conversion. There was a difference. There was a change. He went from attacking Christians to becoming one. And he became a leader of them. So that was something that he had security in. He could be sure about. He was a contender for the faith and of the faith. Compassionate in his love for other believers, the churches, and to Timothy himself. He says in this verse, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." And now I'll get to this part, and I'll have to quit because I'm nowhere near done. Not only the secure words, the hearing of it, as Paul said, heard of me, but the holding of it. Hold it. Now we talked about some things that really got us in our mindset of thinking about really what it comes down to, Brother Jerry, is he's holding me.
That's right.
In my soul. I'm in His hands. No man can pluck me out.
Amen.
You ever have a grandpa or somebody go, "Here, try to get that out of my hand," and you'd be standing on both toes and both hands, and other cousins trying to open up that man's hand he'd worked all his life. You couldn't get nothing out of that hand. And then another person come along stronger. Oh, there won't be one come along stronger than God. No man's able to pluck you out. But this is not concerning me holding on to my salvation. Some people use that kind of phrase, "I'm holding out." No. He's holding on to me. I'm in His hand. So what is this concerning? Well, it's concerning the sound doctrine, the sound words. He said, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." This means to stay put, defend your position, and here's the nautical terms or the connection. I don't know there was a great influence with Paul, but I do know in the book of Acts, he'd been on a few ships and had a few shipwrecks. Acts chapter 28, big time, 26 he had a big time wreck, 28, okay? So he knew a little bit about that. And even taught the shipmasters, and there's all kind of things about the tackling and the undergirding. So, sure, ship terminology is not foreign to the Word of God, not foreign to Paul.
That's right.
But I had heard this before. And so, this term of holding fast during a wind or a weather problem, a storm, many times they go up the rope, the tackling or the netting up there. They'd sometimes be in the crow's nest. Sometimes they were taking the sails down so the wind wouldn't drive them and move them, and they would be less resistant to the storm that was coming. And they were given this phrase, and other sailors would admonish them. I'd say, Jason's going up the rope. I told Jason, I'm Admiral Ellison. That sounds pretty good, didn't it? Admiral Ellison. I'm going to send Jason, first mate or whatever. Somewhere down there, you're down there, okay? You're rolling up through there and telling them those other men, and they say, hold fast. Hold fast. And that means you put one hand and you hold on with everything you got. And the other hand, you help out the ship with everything you got. Because if the ship goes, you're going too. But you need to hold on for dear life to that ship while you're sailing in that storm. And as they climb up that rigging, they would encourage him to do that, to hold fast. Amen. One hand for the ship and one hand for yourself. Amen. And I want to do that. I want to hold on to this sound doctrine while the winds are blowing and it's not popular to preach the Word of God, and so many things now, they're changing so many things around us. I'm glad this blessed old Bible, and I use the King James Version, listen, it's still being used, it's still being anointed, and I got some truth I can hold on to. No matter what's getting ready to come, I got some truth I can hold on to. So I hold on. I want to hold on it with both hands, but that phrase means I got one hand on it. And the other hand I might have, like in the book of Nehemiah, one of them they had one on a trowel fixing the wall, one was on the sword. Y'all get any typology out of that one? The sword. Amen. So I want to hold fast to this sound doctrine. Hold on with one hand. Try to help out with the ship on the other side. I promise you want your family to make it. We and Micah were talking about somebody, family that we've been around and associated since we've lived in this area a long time. And one of the boys is going to church up there some on Wednesday night and Sunday night. And he was talking to the parents, and they were talking about a lot of their kids have gotten out of church, and they thought they was going to walk different once they got older, and they pretty much just walked away from everything they taught them. And many of you know, many of you do understand. That's the only way your family's going to make it, if you hold fast to the truth. They're not going to be able to walk very far out there on something that's not true. It'll be taken out from under them. But listen, they can do all they want to with every dynamic of our society, from how they were made and who they were made by, whether they believe in a God or they don't believe in a God, whether they believe that this is a man-made word or admonishment, or this was spiritual or not. You can hold fast to that truth, and you'll be able to see your family survive the days that are coming upon us. Because even here, I'll get to this, but I'm not going to get into it now. These are sobering words, because he mentions, all they which are in the Asia be turned away from me. Everybody turned away from me. Just about at that point, there was nobody. My mom and dad are gone. They're dead, passed away. My sister's gone. Most all my immediate family's gone. And a lot of the good preachers I grew up hearing over the years, when I come up, they're gone. My pastor's 83 years old himself. I don't know how long he'll be holding fast, but he's still preaching. I went to a preacher's conference, a preacher's fellowship. Brother Robert went with me, and he got there late, but I watch him on Facebook sometimes. I'll watch it. He'll lean up on the communion table and preach, sitting down on the communion table. And he's just tired. And every once in a while, he'll get to going, and you'll see his legs get a little straight, and he'll rise up, and the next thing you know, he's kicking a leg and smacking his hand, and then you'll have to sit back down again. But there's still something stirring in there. There's still a fire burning in there. But I'm glad to know that he didn't change, and the Word didn't change over time. And I've got some Word, the sound doctrine I can hold fast around. I try to teach my children that, and I hope they'll get it. I believe they're trying to get it, amen. But they're going to be tested just like I was, and continue to be, on what they believe and why they believe it. So what Get on that word. Hold fast to that word. And you're climbing up that rope and the storm's blowing around. You can just picture poor old Jason up there. And he's holding on to one of them ropes and maybe had it wrapped around his hand a couple of times just in case he gets blowed off the other side trying to climb up in the crow's nest. He's holding on to something. Amen. Holding on to something that's undergirded. Beautiful images of the anchor that goes down and finds a rock. Listen, I know there are stories that talk about how important the anchor is, and I know that it is important. If the anchor goes out of that ship, drags the bottom of the ocean, it won't be able to stop that boat, that naval vessel, until it holds fast on something more stable than itself. And it finds a rock, and in that big old ship will just come to a stop. It'll stay steady, and the ship will endure that storm, it will come to pass. And they'll raise the anchor. Anchors up and sailing on through the sea. And Brother Michael was in the Navy. He'd probably pick apart everything I just said. I don't know. But I have heard preachers preach about being anchored that which is in the veil in the book of Hebrews. And they talk about the chain and the anchor. Listen, we got to understand that that hope is anchored in the veil. What's in the veil? The blood of Jesus Christ. The rock in the ocean is where the anchor can be heavy, yes. And they can be super heavy, and they are. But especially when those personal vessels... I need a rock that's bigger than my boat. I need something stronger than my anchor. And my anchor's in the rock of ages. And you can hold fast to sound words, sound doctrine, the truth of the Word of God. Don't believe one word. Somebody says they found the body of Jesus. Documented proof. DNA run and everything. Where in the world are they going to match that? But you know how people talk nowadays. They'll come up and people will believe, oh, you know that guy's DNA. No, they don't. You get a drop of the blood of God under a slide, it'd blow the eyeballs out of those scientists. You can't comprehend that. That they're going to tell that, oh, we found his body and here's this grave or this person like that. Don't believe it. Believe the sound words, the sound doctrine. You won't get disturbed. Somebody told me something like that. I said, that ain't true. No way. And they try to act like you're not intellectual, not smart. They can try to tear you down, make you feel dumb or ignorant or uneducated. You hold fast to the Word of God. David said when he meditated on the Word of God, it made him more wiser than the ancients. Why is that? Because that Word is eternal. It comes forth from God. The Word is flesh that dwelt among us. And God is connected to His Word, Amen. The Spirit of truth. So when you don't know what to do in this difficult days that we're living in, I admonish you, hold fast to the Word of God. Amen. Father, thank You for Your warning, Your words tonight, God's encouragement, the Scriptures. Lord, there's so much false information out there. So many people mocking the things of God. Lord, there's so many today that have gotten away from truth. They've gotten away. They're getting upset about this or that. And so they're going to recover from the fundamental God. We need to find the fundamentals again. We need to stand on them once again. We need to hold fast to the sound words, the sound doctrine. May You help us, God, as we grow in grace and knowledge, to get anchored in this truth. We might be able to endure the storms of life that come. Hang on to a promise, no matter come what may in our life, that we trust in Your Word. And God, that You would help us through the difficulties that we face ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.